sitting down. Anyway, I made myself comfortable, put my feet up on Markham's bed, pulled over his fruit bowl, and helped myself to his grapes. He knew better than to argue. He was, they all were, in some deep shit here. Since this was something that happened on a regular basis, no one seemed that bothered. My name is Maxwell, and I'm in charge of the history department, or the usual suspects, as they're sometimes known. Everyone present belonged to me, with the exception of Markham, or the patient, as he's sometimes known, or, on one or two occasions, the accused. He was fussing about my boots on his bed. "If Nurse Hunter comes in, I'll get the blame," he said. That's another thing about Markham. He's as brave as a lion, gets himself shot at, blown up, set on fire, dropped or drowned far more often than is probably good for him, and it's all water off a duck's back. But one harsh word from blonde, fluffy Nurse Hunter, and he looks like a puppy with a brick round its neck. "The sooner I get this sorted, the sooner I'm gone," I said. "Who's going to start?" I'm not sure why I bothered asking. No one at St. Mary's is backward when coming forward to tell their side of the story. They all talked at once, of course, and it would have been sensible of them to have spent a little time first agreeing which was going to be the official version, but we got there in the end. "William Tell," said Roberts, and from that moment everything was crystal clear. No reason why I shouldn't have a little fun, though. It would seem that an argument, sorry, academic discussion, had arisen over various myths and legends, and someone had dragged in William Tell. From there, it was only a short trip to the story of Tell shooting the apple off his son's head. From there, it was an even shorter trip to the possibility of such a feat. From there, it was only a tiny step to them having a go themselves. And from there, it was as inevitable as a politician cheating on his expenses claim that Markham would lose a body part. Back in the 14th century, Switzerland was occupied by the Austrians. They set up a hat on a pole in the Altdorf marketplace and instructed the people to bow as they passed. William Tell refused. Tell was famous for his prowess with a crossbow, and, displaying the sense of humour for which Austrians are renowned, they thought it would be a hilarious idea to place an apple on his son's head and challenge him to shoot it off, which he did. Apparently, various historians had scoffed at this, one thing had led to another, and the next minute, half of St. Mary's was outside with a crossbow and a bowl of fruit. You do see where this is heading, don't you? "Whose idea was this?" I asked, and the way no one looked at Miss Lingos told me everything I wanted to know. "So why was the apple on Markham's head and not Miss Lingos's?" "Oh, come on, Max," said Sands. "Stick an apple on her head and you'd never see it again." True enough, I suppose. "Who shot the bolt?" I demanded, and astonishingly, no one could remember. I sighed and closed the book. The only reason we weren't shut down years ago by the Health and Safety Executive is that we only have to file official paperwork if someone is actually carted off to hospital. Since we have our own very well-equipped sick bay, we're able to keep most things in-house. Although if anyone ever checks up on exactly how we manage to get through 2 accident books a month, we're in serious trouble. "So what really happened?" I said, putting the book away so they knew we were off the record. "He moved," said Bashford indignantly. "I did not," said Markham, even more indignantly. "For the love of God, I was only 10 feet in front of you. I couldn't possibly have missed. You moved." "You couldn't hit a bloody barn door," replied Markham with spirit. "I told you we should have used a pumpkin." I inquired exactly what the damage was. "Lost the top of my left ear," he said proudly. "I look like Spock, not the baby guy, the other one." "Actually," said Lingos, whose fault all this probably was, "we should do the other one as well, so he's balanced." "It'll take a lot more than snipping his ear to balance Markham," said Bashford, who obviously hadn't forgiven him for the slur on his marksmanship. "You don't think it spoiled my looks, do you?" said Markham anxiously. "No," he said, "nothing could." He brightened. "Thank you." I don't think that was quite what Bashford had meant, but at that moment, Hunter appeared with a tray of instruments and a determined expression, and we all found good reasons to be somewhere else. I had an excellent reason for being somewhere else. Dr. Bairstow wished to see me. I suspected he was about to make a spirited attempt to reduce Markham's salary on the grounds that he was paying full.